Keith, is this you?
This is me.
Hi, Keith. So where in the world are you? You back home or are you on the road?
I'm at home in California.
Oh, awesome. Well, I want to introduce you to our audience. Keith is a very interesting man. He's always had a passion for flying, and he's an American Airlines pilot. You've been with American Airlines flying for how long, Keith?
31 years.
Long time. That's great. But on top of that, you love music, and you love world music. I didn't know. I guess your mother was had a passion for world music as well.
Yeah, I got my passion for world music from my mother. She listened to all kinds of music, everything from Greek music to Tibetan bells to African to Indian and everything in between.
How wonderful. And somehow, through all of that, you got involved in working with klezmer music. I know you're a fellow Grammy member, a member of the National Academy of Recording Arts. And you do a very well done, I mean, I have to say, very professional klezmer podcast with quite a few listeners. And you get some wonderful guests on your podcast as well.
Oh, thank you, Cindy. Yeah, I've been doing the podcast since 2007. And I felt that the klezmer musicians in particular, as well as the genre in general, need a little bit more exposure than they've been getting in the limited circles that they were circulating in. So I started interviewing the bands from around the world and promoting them to join NARIS and get involved in the Grammy process. So many of them have.
And it's wonderful. I know you did a Grammy submission last year. I know you have now created your own studio, and you turned your garage into a studio, which shows you have a passion for music. It could have been an airplane hangar, but no, a studio for recording. Klezmerpodcast.com is your site for that. I know you've always, it's interesting because there's a wonderful few Facebook sites for Grammy members, and I've seen your post, and I really didn't realize you were an airline pilot till you messaged me and said, I'm going to be in Maui for a couple of days. And not knowing that you were a pilot, said, you can go here and you can go there and let me show you some great places. Well, and you said, I've been to Maui quite a few times. And then I went, how come you just go and come to Maui for 3 days at a time? He said, I'm a pilot. So I was kind of wondering, as a pilot, how do you take advantage of all the places you travel in the limited amount of time you have as a pilot? What's your typical situation when you fly to a place and land, and how much time you have before you have to fly again?
Well, we usually have around 24 hours everywhere we go, so you don't have a lot of time to be a tourist, so you have to pick maybe one or two things that you want to do while you're there. But you go there fairly frequently, so you get 24 hours several times during the month to do whatever you like to do. So, we usually get there, depending on which the timing of the flight. You're there in the afternoon, the evening, go for dinner, and then go to bed, get up in the morning, walk around, have breakfast. Some people like to do a little shopping, or in the case of going to Hawaii, they go jump in the water for a little while, and then get ready and go back to the airport. So there's not a lot of time to do a lot of touring.
No. Can you pick the places you fly to?
Well, to a limited extent, the way the world is broken up, the airline assigns certain destinations to certain of the crew bases that there are around the system. So, for example, the East Coast people tend to go more to the Caribbean, and the West Coast people tend to go more to Hawaii and Asia. So it's broken up pretty much geographically. So I don't really have a chance to go to, for example, St. Martin, but people that are flying off the East Coast do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does it help when you have the seniority of the 31 years? Do you get a chance to have more perks as time goes along?
Well, to a limited extent, everything is pretty much across the board for everybody. So there's a little bit of perks to go along with the seniority, but it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
Mm-hmm. I saw an interesting broadcast one time. It actually came about, I think, after that plane went down in Malaysia, and there'd been a couple of crashes that happened where it came about that a lot of the young pilots only have flown and are mostly reliant on the automation systems of planes, autopilot, so to speak, and that sometimes what happens if you really have a problem and you can't trust the computer system. There was a story last week that I think it was outside New York or someplace where they actually lost contact with air traffic control for 45 minutes. But there's been some times where things happen, and I've always wondered, I mean, you obviously have been flying long enough and you've had a passion for flying since you were very young. I mean, how much can you count on autopilot, and how much do you still have to remember? And do you see the difference with younger pilots coming in not knowing about the flying of the plane versus counting on autopilot?
Well, let's back up for a second. First of all, everybody learns to fly without the autopilot. That's step one.
Mm-hmm.
The autopilot is kind of more advanced flying, if you will. So while there is a lot of automation and autopilots and things like that, that is a layer above the basic skill level of every certified pilot that has to pass a lot of exams and tests and simulator rides and medical exams and psychological exams to get to that point. So while the automation portion of that makes headlines in the news, you also have a very skilled set of pilots flying around the world. There's an upcoming movie about Sully and the Miracle on the Hudson. And when you lose both of your engines, and as in that case, automation isn't a whole lot of help. You have to have some basic skills to get the plane down safely.
Mm-hmm.
So the automation is great. When the automation isn't working the way it should, or if something else is going on, then you have to have something to fall back on and have an idea how to either correct the automation or to bypass it.
You know, I was listening to the broadcast. I'm sure you probably heard the story about the Southwest airplane that lost its engine and it's going from New Orleans to Orlando. And they played the air traffic control tape of the guy. And it amazed me how, I don't know if you heard that tape, Keith, but he was so calm. I mean, here he was coming in and he was asking for the emergency ambulances and the you know, everything to be cleared. And I mean, it was amazing how calm he was. And people got off the plane and they said, you know, he saved our lives. He was so wonderful in the way he communicated and to the people on the plane and the way he stayed so calm. I mean, is that something you learn or is that just inherent? Or, I mean, how do you, and that's an amazing amount of stress that you're going through always when you're flying. How do you keep that kind of stress-free, calm place in dealing with a situation that's an emergency?
Well, it comes from a lot of repetitive practice in the simulator and constant talking about it with the pilots we work with. So we know that when something like that happens, we're trained for it all the time, whether an engine fails or a tire blows or we lose an electrical system or a hydraulic system. We do it so often for practice that when it happens for real, the training just kicks in, takes over, and we know that everything's going to be fine, and we just follow the procedure and, you know, land the plane or divert or whatever the situation calls for. And the same applies if you have a medical emergency on board. If you have somebody that's taken ill, the crew knows what to do in that situation. We've got AEDs on board the plane. You've got oxygen on board the plane. You've got access to call a doctor through the dispatch center at the airline. So it's almost the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was talking at the beginning of the show about something that concerns me, is that there's more and more announcements on the news about people freaking out in airlines and having some, having kind of, I guess, episodes where they go a little crazy. You know, maybe it's just being reported more because people captured on social media. But I also wonder if people just drink too much and mix it with medication or something. Because you're seeing some of these people just do insane things. Today they announced on, I think it was an Alaskan flight, a guy tried to get out the door of the plane while it was flying or something. I mean, do you think that alcohol is a situation here? Or are you seeing that people are just getting crazier? Or is this just because of anything that you can think of?
I don't think there's a particular increase in that sort of thing, but it does make the news more, and it certainly makes the rounds on social media more. What causes people to behave that way? I'm not a psychologist, so I really can't, speculate on that. But a lot of these people, it does not seem to be alcohol related, but either the condition they've got or medication that they are or are not taking, people just have a panic attack. There's a lot of fearful flyers out there that still have to get on an airplane occasionally, and sometimes it just becomes too much for them just to be on the airplane. Back when I was flying Hawaii frequently, there was one flight I had. There was a woman traveling with her family, and she was a fearful flyer. And they were all on the plane. They were seated. I spoke to the lady because they told me she was a fearful flyer, reassured her. And when they were closing the door of their airplane, she got up and ran off their airplane. And so her whole family had to stay behind and not have their vacation. So sometimes people panic and they have to get off. Now, people panic in flight and try to open the door, that's a different situation. Of course, the door can't be opened in flight because of the force exerted on the door from the pressurization of the airplane being in the air. So we talk about the 500-pound gorilla test to be able to open that door. It's pretty much impossible, although people try.
Well, I have to say I really honor airline pilots, and I'm amazed how many times that, every time I get on a plane, I think I'm amazed by how well they handle situations, everything from air turbulence to emergencies, and I think it's quite a wonderful thing to be able to do, and I have to say, I don't know, I love to fly, but I mean, you fly how many times? How many times during the course of a month are you flying planes?
Well, I fly a little bit less trips now because I'm flying the international, so the flights are longer, so we fly fewer flights. So I'm flying about four flights, round trips, a month now. Back when I was flying to Hawaii, it was usually around six or seven round trips per month because the flights are shorter between the West Coast and Hawaii. So you spend a lot of time in the air.
Do you really still get dehydrated when you're flying, or do you kind of get used to it? I mean, dehydration a lot. There's a lot of effects from flying that much. Do you ever find that yourself that your physical you have to keep a certain regimen up to stay up for flying that much?
Well, yeah, you have to stay hydrated. We, drink a lot of water and make sure we're taking care of ourselves because the medical situation is the most important thing. If you're not physically fit and able to do your job, you can't be there. So that's why you hear so rarely about pilots being taken ill while they're flying the plane.
That's
so
true.
It's a very rare case, and we know what we need individually to take care of ourselves.
Well, it's an amazing thing because I love flying. I started flying at an early age, but I can't even imagine what it's like trying to fly that many flights as you have. And I just think it's also awesome that you can do the music, which for you is your passion. I think it's wonderful that you built a studio. And do you, I know you like the podcast, but are you still playing with klezmer groups? And can you explain, some people don't even know what klezmer music is. Can you explain what klezmer music is and why you love it so much?
Well, klezmer music comes from the Jewish people of Eastern Europe. Basically, I refer to it as Eastern European Jewish folk music. And it originated in Russia, Germany, Poland, Hungary, Romania, Moldova, places like that. And that's the music that was played at weddings and celebrations, basically dance music. So it's a generally very happy music and consists of clarinet, violin, sometimes accordion, brass instruments, sometimes piano, guitar, mandolin, things like that, whatever people have around. And there are quite a number of subgenres of klezmer, which I don't really have time to go into in any depth with you today, but if you Google klezmer or klezmer podcast, you'll find my program and you'll hear a wide variety of different types of Jewish and Yiddish music, some sung in Yiddish, some in Hebrew, some in Aramaic even, some in Ladino, which is a Jewish version of Spanish. So there's a wide variety of genres out there. Now, I also do, at least I try to do, a monthly playlist of klezmer music on Spotify, where I'm able to kind of curate a playlist of new music that's being released that I don't have time to get to during the podcast.
Huh.
So it's kind of a supplement to the interview podcast that I do. And it's a lot of fun. I get a lot of people to follow those playlists as well.
Well, you got a little niche that's interesting, but you actually yourself, you play trumpet, right?
Right, trumpet and flugelhorn, and we perform regularly with our band. It's called South Coast Simcha Band. As I like to say, a simcha is the Jewish word for fiesta.
Well, it is happy music. I think most people maybe only know Hava Nagila and Fiddler on the Roof. That may be the limitations of what they know of the music.
It's always a good starting point.
Yeah. and it's interesting that you've made this your passion to go after. And I have to say, I have to applaud you. You do a very good job with it. And so I'm sure you've done a lot to develop people's awareness of it. I didn't know that there was music that was considered klezmer music that had Aramaic, which is interesting to me because I think it's an interesting language because it goes back to the time of Christ. But I mean, that's like pretty powerful that people can do Aramaic klezmer music. So I think that's wonderful. But I do appreciate, it's been so nice through the years connecting with other fellow Grammy members through Facebook friends and things. And I know it's always interesting to see what you've been doing and where you're going. I think in this last month you did some interesting trips. Where did you go in this last month?
Well, I've worked two flights to London and a flight to Tokyo. And, of course, I came to Maui earlier this month and just did a 12-day trip through Italy. So.
Wow.
That's
a lot. Okay.
It's a somewhat common typical month for me.
So what's the best baggage to carry for carry-on if you're a pilot?
I travel light. My whole family travels light. I've trained them pretty well. We travel with one rollerboard and a backpack, and we go for up to 3 weeks with the rollerboard and a backpack. So,
oh, my gosh.
You don't want to carry more than you can stow on board the plane without having to check it. And it's also easier to get around at your destination if you have to go on public transportation, a bus or a subway. I've seen people with very large suitcases running around Venice, Italy, up and down stairs and over bridges. And
that's me.
It's not a pretty sight most of the time.
No, it's not. I think you could make a lot of money, Keith, if you just did a training courses. Maybe if you ever retire from being a pilot, you could do training courses on teaching people how to pack light.
I probably could. That's an interesting point. But I've taken my tips from other sources about how to pack light, so I've kind of learned along the way. Mm-hmm. One very important tip I do want to pass along to everyone, because I see this a lot, particularly in the summer, people traveling on the airplanes in flip-flops, or as you say in Hawaii, slippers, mm-hmm. and shorts or cutoffs, and like they're going to the beach. But as you pointed out, if you have a problem and the airplane has an emergency and you have to evacuate on the runway, it's not the best outfit for being around hot burning metal or other airplane parts or fire department personnel, whatever, that are responding to your situation on the runway.
Hmm.
So I always tell people to wear long pants and regular shoes when you're traveling on an airplane, just for your own protection, in the, you know, 0.00001% chance that you might have to leave the airplane, not at the gate.
Mm, interesting point. I've never heard him bring that up, you know, but I always agree with that, and I see it sometimes, and it actually surprises me, you know, when I see it, when people are going to go, actually usually at LAX or SFX, at San Francisco, when people are going to go to Hawaii, you almost always see them with shorts or something, you know, dressed like that. So I do think that happens a lot, but I really appreciate you taking the time to call, Keith. Our hearts are going out to the people. You said you were in Italy, but that was just terrible earthquake, 300 people plus there in that little town, and it's not much you can do when you have a medieval town that doesn't have a lot of roots. So I know you were just through there, and that was just kind of a tragedy that just happened. 300 plus, and there you go. You know, it happens sometimes to places that are beautiful like Italy and anywhere. You just never know. But thank you, Keith, for calling, and it was good talking to you and getting your advice and inside perspective as a pilot. So stay in touch and happy travels.
Great, Cindy. Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be on your program, and wish you all the best, and aloha to everyone listening out there.
Thank you. Aloha to you. All right, Keith. Nice guy. I can't imagine 31 years.